Welcome to Board Games Are for Losers, a podcast where two friends with the same name talk about everything board game related and introduce new players to the hobby. And now, here they are, Darren and Darren.
Welcome to today's episode of Board Games Are for Losers. I'm your host, Darren.
I'm also Darren.
And today's going to be a little different episode. So we have with us a guest named Max. Max, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
And so as our listeners know, usually our guest is somebody who's pretty new to gaming, hasn't had a lot of experience. But with Max, it's the exact opposite. Max probably has more gaming experience than Dayron and I combined.
Easily.
And he's designing his own game. So we thought it'd be a really good idea, good opportunity to have him on to talk about some of his gaming experience and to talk about the process of designing a game. So thanks for being here, Max.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is going to be awesome.
All right, so we're not going to go right into the game. We want to learn, and we want our viewers, listeners. Yeah, we have a secret camera set up, by the way.
Just FYI. Cool. So I probably should put my pants back on.
Pants back on. Okay. Excellent.
It's a violation of the rules.
That's true. All right, so we're going to go into your background a little bit, and then we're going to go talk about the game that you are designing. So first, we want to know, tell the listeners how you met the Double Ds.
I know it was at the first WBC out in Seven Springs. I'm pretty sure.
I
think I have the answer to this, but we're going to see what he comes up with.
So you guys said you've been to WBC in Lancaster. That was your first time there, D1.
Yeah.
And I've been going there since, I think it was 2010. But out in Lancaster, the cool part about WBC, at least for me, is when you go to tournaments, all right, everybody knows how to play the game. Cool, let's sit down and we play. But in your off time, I go to the back room, which is for open gaming, and they have these big placards that say, hey, you want to play?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I mean, I'm a pretty open, gregarious guy, like, if I know you. But with people I don't know, believe it or not, I have a shell out there, and it's not the easiest thing to do to walk up to somebody and say, hey, you want to play?
Sure.
Those placards are like, dude, they're just like targets. Like, hey, they want to play a game. Cool. And I think I had a placard up, and you guys might have been walking by, and the second somebody stops at your table, that's like, I got all really in.
There's
hooking you. Yeah. And you know, you say, hey, this is what I'm playing, and kind of give you a little 5-second sale on the game, and you guys probably thought it was interesting, and you sat down, and that was it.
I think you may be right. I think you actually might have it backwards. I'm remembering the first time we met is actually I had the placard.
Oh, you had the placard. Okay.
I might have had the placard. I think you were gone somewhere, Darren, playing something, and I had Raw the Dice Game.
Oh, okay. And I believe that.
Because that game you can't play anywhere else because no one has it outside WBCs. Yeah. And I think you sat down, and you're like, I don't know what this is. Let's play. And then I think we were playing, and you came back.
Right.
And I was like, hey, this Max guy's kind of normal. We should play some more games.
I had you fooled from the go.
That's always the risk, right? Yeah, I mean, because we have done, and we've talked about this in our other episodes, we haven't even put the placard up. People have just come sidling up when we're about to start a game. We had a game of Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Ooh, God, yeah. that guy made me angry. So,
but it was definitely at Seven Springs is when we first met.
Yes.
So it's like 3 years ago?
I think, two or three, whichever one.
Once it goes past one,
I lose. I know, you're right.
I joke with people that I've had 36 concussions. I played a lot of sports growing up, and that's fine, but I don't think the number's really 36. But anything that goes beyond a year or two just gets kind of muscled up in the mush of my brain.
You're not going to do well on our test later, then. It's going to be tough.
I have a cheat sheet.
Uh-oh.
It's under here. You guys just won't notice.
Sorry. Well, maybe I should interject here. In case somebody's listening for the first time, the WBCs that we're describing, Darren, what is the WBCs?
It's a World Board Gaming Championship. Where it's a week-long convention where you go and you play a bunch of games. There's a bunch of tournaments and 10 days now.
Nine days.
Yes, my wife likes to point out that it's 9 full days. She will not ever let me live that down. 9 full days.
A lot of gaming.
Okay, just in case somebody hadn't listened to it. So, Max, when you first met us, what were your first impressions of the Double Ds? Be honest.
Well, my first thought was this guy's named Aaron, this guy's named Aaron, and there that whatever that old TV show is. My dad might have been with us, and he probably would remember that show more.
Daryl and Daryl.
And honestly, for the longest time, I thought you guys were Daryl and Daryl. And the off season between conventions, I told my dad, I said, I hope we run into the Daryls again. And on their website, they list all the people who pre-register, and I actually searched for Daryl. I'm like, I don't remember this guy's name. I know what he looks like, so I'll find him again. Which, you know, I'm the same way with you. Whenever I play with somebody new, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'm really just there to have fun, and if somebody really wants to focus really hard and try to win an open game, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like, you guys felt like me, right? You know, you just kind of wanted to have fun. You were really cool about learning new games. You were good game teachers. You taught me Raw the Dice Game really quickly. It was,
I think a monkey could do that, but I'll take that as a
really
compliment.
Smart monkey, I guess. But I always enjoy going to those types of conventions because of guys like you. I consider you guys my con friends.
Yeah,
there's people from California, New York, Kentucky, people that, you know, that's where we all get together and meet. And I'm happy that you guys are on the list now because you guys remind me of me a little bit. There's nothing
true,
you
man.
Won't play.
Yep.
And you're easy to talk into playing at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like what your listeners might not know about me is that my WBC week, I try to sleep as little as possible. Like, I will wake up at 7 and I will go to bed at 4:30 if I can.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then by the end of the week, I'll be like all kinds of zombied out. And but that's how I end my summer. And I always tell people, you know, crack is illegal. This is legal.
We frequently tell the story about your dad when we told him one day at WBC's that we had gone for a bike ride or something, and he looked at us like we had 7 heads.
Why would you do this?
Why did you waste time?
Don't you realize you can ride your bike in June?
I can't. I mean, because we're there for 9 days, to me, I can't do 9 straight. I don't know how you do it. I need to go out.
In Lancaster, where I didn't leave the hotel. Like, we'd go to church on Sunday, come back, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I would not exit the building until Saturday night. That's an entire week of almost like what people might think of as incarceration in that old hotel.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was pretty bad hotel. So I'm going to ask this question. Garrett doesn't know why I'm asking this one, but when did you figure out why I was called Dayron and he was Darren?
Listen to the podcast.
Okay.
I had no idea otherwise. I thought it was just one of those things you guys did.
Yeah, because he calls me Dayron all the time at the convention. I don't even think I think twice about it. But I think you had sent me after we started communicating on Facebook after this last convention, you wrote me something like, oh, now I That's get why. It. Now I
it
get
it. Like episode one or two, you guys explained it. I'm like, because I never thought twice. Like, honestly, when people introduce you, I'll go, you're Darren, you're Darren. I thought you were Daryl for so long. So when he started calling you Dayron, I'm like, okay, maybe that's just what he calls you. People call me Jammer. People call me Lefty. I got names too.
Maybe we should go by Daryl sometimes.
Somebody called me Daryl this week in an email. So I'm used to it.
When you're typing it out, that's really bad.
That's really bad when your email name says
my name
Darren.
Is in there.
Title.
If I give it verbally slips, okay.
That's ridiculous, but...
So you had mentioned, I think we bring this up, your dad goes to the WBCs with you, which is really cool. And we played plenty of games with him. But tell us about your gaming experience as a kid. Like, is he the one who got you into gaming? And, you know, what'd you guys do?
Yeah, so well, first of all, I'll tell you, my dad is a legionnaire at WBC, which means he's been to every single one of them dating back to when the convention was in Camp Hill. I think it started in 1991.
Okay.
I don't know the history of everything, but he's been to every single one of them. And there's a handful of them that are in that club. So when I was growing up, I played the average stuff. I mean, I had a copy of Monopoly. I think my favorite game was Clue.
Okay.
So my dad bought a game called Whodunit. Now, when I was a kid, Whodunit was the greatest thing ever. It was kind of like Clue, but it was a little more in-depth.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled out Clue, I think it was back in like 2000, or I'm sorry, Whodunit. I pulled out Whodunit back in 2003 when I first started, you know, seriously dating my girlfriend, who's now my wife. And I pulled out Whodunit, and it did not age well.
No.
I thought, man, this game is pretty brutal. I mean, yeah. We finished it. It was fine. But it had not aged as... When I was a kid, it was phenomenal. And I think there are games like that that normal people... When I say normal people... Sally from McAdoo does not know about whodunit because it's not at Target.
Right.
Target has really done a great job of bringing more games in. But when I was growing up, it was Monopoly, Scrabble. We had a copy of Family Feud that sister and I used to play. But we used to play a stupid version where the board itself had these pull-out slides that had the answers that you could reveal. And our stupid game was, you know, it was like ATM. I would put a dollar in and she would spit $100 back. That was our game.
Yeah.
It was the dumbest game. Yeah. Now that I think about it, this is how we spent our time.
Yeah.
Other games I played growing up that I can remember, Don't Crack the Ice was really fun.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah.
You have it's like a table with ice chips and it's Jenga.
Oh, yes. Essentially. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Except
yes.
I'm a terrible dexterity game player. I mean, right. If you're talking about mechanics, that's a dexterity game. I'm awful at those. But back in the day, I was like, get the hammer, smash, and all the ice would go down.
And that wasn't the point of the game, right?
Not
the point
at all,
was to gently tap the ice.
One of the games I remember playing with my dad.
Did your dad try to get you to play some of the war games that he played?
Yeah, so I think we really, really got into gaming when I was about 13.
Okay.
Then. Because I was playing this thing called a Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if your viewers or audience and people know what a Nintendo is.
I think some of them
were playing 8-bit, dude. Yeah. So I'm playing Baseball Stars. I love this game.
I love that one.
Best game ever, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I asked my dad, I said, Dad, do you want to play a game? And he's like, I don't know about this Nintendo system. Come on, just give it a try. So I'm recruiting my
dad. That
sounds
exactly like your dad. Just so our listeners know.
I'm recruiting my dad like we do at WBC. So he sits down and we play. I beat him 37-0. Like it was brutal, and I just couldn't stop scoring.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he got mad. He's like, "All right, fine. Enough of this junk. We're gonna play Strat-O-Matic baseball now." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "It's a board game." I said, "Okay." I'd played board games with him growing up, so I said, "That's fine." So we played, and it was a lot harder than I anticipated because there was a lot of moving parts to it. And I said, "I don't know if I like this." So. It wasn't until a couple years later, I think I was about 16 or 17, when my father said, "Hey, Max, we should play. You should play with my friends." He would have friends come over to the house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Their names are Art and Greg. I think my dad taught with Greg, and Art was a friend he met through a magazine. Like, this was before the internet. He met him. There's a magazine called The General, and people could sell things in the back through classifieds. And my dad saw this guy from the same city. So they got connected and they played.
Huh.
And when I was a kid growing up, they used to laugh because I'd always go down in the kitchen and bug my dad for a ham and cheese sandwich with mayonnaise. And he would have to stop playing to make me food. So it was like around 1995 or 94-ish, and my dad says, "You know, you should play with Art and Greg and I." I said, "I don't know. You guys play on Monday. I'm trying to watch wrestling on Monday." He's like, "Just come over and just play it one time, see if you like it." And it was a game called Air Baron. I said, "I don't know how to play." He's like, "Oh, it's easy. We'll teach you." And they taught me, and I think every Monday for the next 3 years till I graduated, we'd play that game two or three times.
Wow.
And every now and then we'd pull out. They bought Puerto Rico when it came out, and they bought Tikal when it came out. But every Monday, Art and Greg would come over, and we'd play.
Huh.
So that was about the time I started really, really getting into it, and then I went to college. And at college... It was hard to maintain that kind of level of dedication to a game obviously no one had ever heard of. So I kind of fell out of gaming for a couple of years until I graduated. And that's the first year I went to WBC with my dad.
Okay.
But then I had a job.
Yeah.
And the first job I had, no vacation time. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to take a couple years off before I go back so that I have a little... So 2000, was it 99 or 2000, I don't remember, was my first year. And then there was a break for a couple years before I started going every year then.
Okay.
So what game, when you came back into it, like full-fledged, what game do you remember being your entry back in? Or was there just a whole bunch of them that you started up again with?
So Air Baron got me into gaming with my dad. And I never really stopped playing that. I mean, I bought a copy of that on eBay. It had gone out of print. Avalon Hill had gone out of business. I bought a copy on eBay for $65, and it was in shrink until I got married. Because I was just playing my dad's copy. Why would I crack my copy open? And when we got married, the first thing I did, I remember I put the the token counter on the scanner, and I did like this 600 DPI high res scan of these things because, oh my gosh, if they ever, if I ever lose them, you know. But I think coming back into gaming, there was a game called Vegas Showdown that actually, I'll go back. I'll be completely honest with people. There's a game called Killer Bunnies that my sister-in-law and her husband bought. And it was a really trippy game. Like, seriously, if you did drugs, that game would be for you.
Yeah.
I honestly think the guy who designed it must have been on some kind of drug because they came out with like 15 expansions. And expansion 15 mentioned something specifically in the base game. Or like the base game mentioned something specifically from that expansion. Like, yeah, they knew that was coming.
Yeah.
15 expansions.
Oh, like, it, it got ridiculous.
What was that game about?
Oh, okay. The goal was to... It's been a while since I played. The goal was to find the magic carrot. There's 20 carrots, and here's the part of the game that really irritated me. Okay, so D1 has one carrot. You have one carrot. I have 18 of them. Who should win?
The guy with 18?
Me, this guy. Yes. But no, one of you guys could be the magic carrot. And that
sounds
was
amazing. We might need this game.
You might, but... I've seen online people have kind of reconfarculated it to like a VP game. Like, yeah, every carrot might be worth a point. Okay. The magic carrot might be worth 5 points. And that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
But so that game got me online searching for stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And I found Board Game Geek.
Okay. Okay.
And it was at Board Game Geek I found this game called Vegas Showdown, which is, I think, a phenomenal game. I think it's grossly underrated online. But I bought that game on Amazon. And it came in, and I started playing it. I'm like, I like this, but I got my in-laws playing too. My father-in-law, who would only play like a version of Rummy that they taught me, he played it. And he did not play it correctly, but he played it. He had fun with it.
Right.
His goal was to take... He bought every lounge because he's like, I want any room you have in my casino, you can drink it.
That was just
so he took a game and made it fun for him, which is to me why board games are
cool. Sure, yeah, very cool.
So I would say Vegas Showdown probably got the ball rolling for me. And then I started finding websites that you could buy games. Right. You buy $100 worth of games, it's free shipping.
We know
I got $86 in my thing. I might as well get an extra game instead of pay the $10 in shipping. Right?
I hate that. Yeah. That's the biggest sucker move. Yeah, and it works every time.
All the time, man.
All right, so talking about right now, if you had to kind of give a general overview of what type of games do you like to play?
Yes.
Yes, you just like to play everything.
Pretty much. So to me, gaming is about the experience. So I would much rather play a game I might not necessarily super duper like with a group of people that I really do like that'll make it fun. That does not mean that I would want to play a game that I loathe with people that I love. Because the people that I love, they probably have a pretty similar style of game. That it may be like you guys, I know, like Dominion. I don't.
Yeah.
I might like Puerto Rico. You guys might not. Whatever. We would find something in the middle, right? So I consider myself an omni gamer. I'll try anything once. I've played games that I absolutely do not like several times. The one game that comes to mind for me is Race for the Galaxy. I'm not a Race for the Galaxy fan. I just don't understand the icons. I never did. I never will.
Okay.
But I have a good friend from Long Island named Chris who was like, Max, I have to teach you this game. You did not learn properly. So at a WBC, we sat down. He taught me. I won the game. Yeah. Still, I'm not a big fan of it.
And what don't you like about that? The iconography is very confusing.
That's it.
And it just is that throws you off.
Yeah, I mean, because it's San Juan in space-ish. I mean, it's a lot heavier than San Juan now. They've expanded that 15 times. But I can't explain it. It just doesn't scratch the itch for me.
Okay.
You know, and San Juan is kind of the same way. I'll play it if there's nothing else going on. But if there's something better, I'll want to go do that.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny because one of the games that we talked about beforehand is very San Juan-like, but I like that game a lot. I can't explain why.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. You're a lot like Darren.
Yeah,
I
was just going to say, yeah.
We're considering doing a segment that games that make you angry because there's. I have a couple. Yeah. My wife has a couple. His wife has a couple. And then I was like, Darren, what games make you angry? And there's really nothing.
No, I think you...
It's the people that make
exactly
you angry.
Exactly like you said in the beginning of why we got along well, because I'm the same way. I like to play everything. And if it's with people I enjoy playing games with, That makes it fine. Better. Even if the game's not that good, I'm like, oh, it's fine. And I like experiencing new games and finding ones that I like. And then, you know, I'll play the ones I like over and over again, but I still enjoy playing games, even if they're not amazing, if it's you're playing with the right people, yeah. It's still a fun experience.
And I've had people who, like, they look at their collection, they have 1,000 games. And first of all, wow, that's crazy. But this guy will say, why am I going to play my third favorite worker placement game when I can play my favorite?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I want to play that one right now. Yeah. Maybe I want to look at the cool mat in front of me, or...
Sometimes it's the theme, I think.
I have a really cool player aid that I want to look at, so I'm pulling this game out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. I guess that does speak a lot to why you two get along. And I don't really hate a lot of games.
No, it's true.
There's only a couple ones that just drive me mad. And we'll save that for another episode.
If you had to pick your favorite type of game mechanic or style game, what do you think that would be?
I like card-driven games.
Okay.
But I also like tile-laying games where... Like, so one of my favorite games, which we'll get to, you start with nothing. The board is very small, but it grows. Mm-hmm. So I like tile-laying games. I like Civilization or city-building games. At first, for me, it was just straight economic games. Okay. Like, 'cause Air Baron was a game about making money. And I thought, well, this is my niche. And I like economic games, I really do, but I think what you find with those games is that people start to min-max things, like Power Grid, for example. I really like Power Grid.
Yeah.
But if you play with a really, 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 really good player, they already know their move.
Yeah.
If you play with somebody who really, 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 really wants to win, but doesn't quite get the math, they'll sit there and they'll figure out the route to the lowest dollar.
Yeah.
Right.
And to me, that's where the experience starts to get like...
Yeah.
It feels like work.
Yeah,
and listen,
yeah.
I work enough. If I'm sitting down pushing plastic around a table, I'm just trying to have fun and be goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
this is where convention max is really fun to be around. Regular max will play and have fun, but convention max gets loud and starts yelling across the room. So everyone knows that convention max is having a good time.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's important.
Yeah.
If I'm in open gaming, the people over in the ski lodge better know that convention max is having fun.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I think we talked about that before we started recording. It's like, we don't want to sit down and have the guy game out the route and Power Grid for 10 minutes.
Right.
Because we're sitting there staring at the roof. And I've only played Power Grid a couple of times, but I've been guilty of that. Because and
if you're a first timer, it happens.
Yeah,
but
it didn't appeal to me because of that reason too much. So I get what you're saying. Like, you don't want to be involved in that type of game. So you've alluded to a couple of your favorite games. When we did our episode 0, we talked about our top 5 favorites, just so people would get an understanding of where we're coming from. And I think it'll be important so people understand. When you talk about the game you design, what kind of influenced you? So what are your top 5 games of all time?
Okay, so this is current.
Yeah.
I think the beautiful part about your top 5, or for me, my top 20, it's fluid. It changes with over time. Even like an older game might sneak its way back on there. So currently, right now, I'd say number 5 is a game called The Colonists. If you look at the box for The Colonists, the top line says an epic strategy game. It's not lying to you. It's an experience.
I've wanted to play this. I heard it takes like 8 hours.
It depends on who you're playing with.
Okay.
So if I'm playing 2 players with a friend of mine back home, we can get through 4 eras in about 5.5. But this is the game I was talking about where you start with kind of nothing in the middle. There's like 2 markets and some other like mini buildings. But every half era, we throw 3 more tiles out on the board. And you see a sprawling of... I'm not sure you would call it a city, but if you want to call it a city, you could. You have a player mat of other little actions you can do. There's a lot of different little things going on. It's an easy game. It really is. After the first era, I think we played, it was like a half an hour. And I looked at it and I'm like, how is this game going to take us 8 hours? 7 hours later, we understood. So I like that, and I would never play it with 4.
Right, okay.
3 is the max, and there's really no difference between 3 and 2, I think, because you're still... Nothing gets taken out, which is kind of cool.
All right, The Colonists, number 5. All right, what do we got at number 4?
Number 4 is... there's a really interesting story with this. I love the Manhattan Project, the bomb race game.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a... I think that was designed by a gentleman named Ben Tibbetts. If I get his name wrong, I'm sorry. Well, a couple years later... There's a guy named Luke Laurie who designed a game called Energy Empire, which is obviously not by the same designer, but it's in the same family. And it's really cool. there are multiple places you can, it's a worker placement game, right. So there's multiple places you can put a worker, but just because I go on space A doesn't necessarily block either of you from going there too. You just have to spend power to do it. And to me, that was just a really cool feature that I think was kind of sort of borrowed from a game called Coal Baron, where I could put my piece here, but you have to put two pieces there to go. Right. So you don't totally block someone, you just make it less efficient. And I like worker placement games, and I like blocking people, don't get me wrong, but something about that was just really cool, and it's a point salad game. I like point salads where I can score points doing A, B, and C, you can score points doing C, G, and X,
right.
And we'll see who does it better.
Yeah.
So Energy Empire does a really good job of expanding the Manhattan Project universe,
yeah.
But kind of off into a... It's like Back to the Future 2, where there's like that separate,
right.
Nice, yeah. Separate thing that they skew, yeah. The timeline. That's kind of what they did with this, because it's not a game about making a bomb or even where Minutes to Midnight, the sequel, is about, you know, nuclear superiority.
Right.
This game is about keeping a clean environment.
Right.
You know, it's kind of the exact opposite.
Huh. So, I think when you look at worker placement games, that's why you look at a game like Agricola, where it's just cutthroat. If you go there, I can't go there. I think I like that aspect too, where you can go someplace somebody has been, but it's going to cost you. So there's kind of a take that element. Like, you can screw over the next person, but not to the point where their entire strategy is done for if you do that.
The other part of Agricola that gets to me is you obviously have to expand your family, but you have 14 rounds. You know, and that's a good thing about gaming too. Like, everybody's going to play to the very end, and everybody knows when the game is over. With Energy Empire, you see there's a timer mechanism built in. That the timer mechanism will kick in. You're not going to play this game for 3 hours unless you're playing it incorrectly. But you might get 15 rounds, you might get 17 rounds, you might get 8 rounds.
Huh.
But you, so you can see the timer, but with like the Agricola, you know, and you, yeah. Know the last card is always the 14th round card. Yeah. So everybody can plan for, yeah. That. Whereas this game, you have to be able to plan on the fly a little bit, because the buildings that come out might flush out, and you might get new buildings.
Huh.
So I like that kind of chaos in a game. Some people don't, yeah. Like chaos. I don't,
yeah.
Mind it.
Yeah, I think it's good. I want to check that out. I've never played that. Right, from Manhattan.
We didn't pull that out of WBC.
No, we
didn't. What's the matter with
Minutes
us?
To Midnight.
We did Minutes to Midnight. I remember, yeah. Two Manhattan Project games, I think you guys taught to me. So next,
yeah.
Time.
We'll get, all right.
All right, so number four was Energy Empire. What do we got for number three?
Okay, number three is Vegas Showdown.
All right.
And it not just because it brought me back in, just because I think it's a really cool design. Mm-hmm. It's been compared to a game called Princes of Florence. It's like Princes of Florence Lite, where you have a player mat in front of you. And I will tell you, in the original version, this is among the worst components of any game on the planet. It's just, I'm going to break the rules. It's a sheet of paper.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. No, you're
like,
done.
What I have here in front of me is... This paper is actually pretty thick. So you have two sides to your building. You have a hotel side and you have a casino side.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to auction tiles. And the cool part about this auction is it's a set auction. I can't raise the price by one because there's a track.
An auction, right. Track. Yeah, yeah.
So for somebody like me who's not really, really good at auction games, I can look at this and I can put a value onto a tile now. Without those, like I played a game called Medici, which, mm-hmm. is a really good auction game for,
yeah,
people who are good at auctions.
Yeah.
And a little side story. So I'm bidding on a boat that I think is good. I'm like, okay, 5. The next guy comes down and he just, 13.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. I'll just sit over here in my corner as you just overpower me by almost triple my bid.
Yeah.
So Vegas Showdown's track kind of, it's easy for me to see what value is. And it's another one of those games where you don't know when the game is going to end, but you have an idea. So right. When the cards run out, or the stack of tiles run out, or when someone fills up their mat, everybody knows.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those things you can totally plan for at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
We're going to have to play that WBC, because
we
did
play
that. We played that, then we played it in the tournament. And, I mean, it was tough because we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
But I would love to play that, yeah. one with you, because,
yeah.
We already played it.
I liked it. Yeah, but it was like 3 years ago, I think, that we played.
But
it.
It's a type of game you can't play with people that are, if they're trying
Charged.
To win.
Yeah,
yeah, it was.
Well, that's
it was
one of the. That's one of the tournaments I will play.
Okay.
I know the GM really well. He's he puts together a really good event, and that's the event where I start to run into what I'll call good players. Like, if you see these guys in tournaments, they are they're in every semi. They're good players. And the 1 year that I was playing, I made a semifinal, and I'm playing against the GM. And this guy's a really good player. So my goal is to just not look like an idiot in front of this GM. Yeah. And it was kind of funny. We figured out halfway through the game we were playing it wrong. We had the tiles reversed. We were doing B before A. You can't do that.
Oh.
Well, you can. I mean, we did, obviously. But we had to restart, and he did his final right after the semi. So somehow, some way, I won that semifinal game. And I made the finals that year. And all of the guys who were in the finals, they were relaxing. They might have went and had a beer. They were just... they were ready to play. I had just finished a game and a half.
Oh,
I told him, I said, it feels like the Eastern Conference team swept. And I played seven grueling overtime games. And I finished third in that game, but it was one of those, like, I knew everybody at the table.
Yeah,
and I'm sure nobody knew me. Yeah. I was like, I was this new guy.
Yeah.
And finishing third, that was the only time I ever won a plaque at WBC.
Okay.
Because that's not what I go there for.
Right.
But I'm happy that I won something.
Yeah. There you go.
So those people were good players, and they were doing some really strange things that I'd never thought of.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm totally with you when you say, like, when you play with those kind of people, that could throw off your game.
Yeah.
Like, instead of buying a tile and putting it on my thing, I have a stack of them over here.
Yeah.
And they don't do you any good over here. And I'm looking at this guy like, what are you doing? You have like eight tiles over there.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the turn where like they all come out.
Right.
And you're just 100 points. And I'm like, well, that was fun.
Nice. All right. Well, that add that one to the list. So that's number three, Vegas
Showdown. All right.
What do you got for number two?
Number two is a game that doesn't get a lot of love. And I kind of understand why. I think it's a game called Cuba. Cuba was a role selection game, or is a role selection game. But it really didn't get really awesome for me until the expansion came out. So there's an expansion called El Presidente, which adds to it. It extends the game by two rounds, which to me puts it at that sweet spot. And it gives you more things you can do. The point of the game is to score victory points. And there's a number of ways you can do that. It's primarily shipping. So it's got aspects of Puerto Rico where I have sugar, rum, and tobacco, and that's what this ship wants. So in Puerto Rico, they just have those empty slots that you can put whatever you want.
Right.
Yeah. In Cuba, it's specific. This boat wants five sugar. This boat wants five tobacco. And if I don't have those, I can't ship them. Okay. But, you have them, and you can ship and get points. But you can see what boats are coming into port, so you can plan ahead. The other aspect of that's really cool is you can build buildings on your little tableau area, and the buildings give you special powers. It gives you an easier way to get these resources that are going to get shipped. You can then turn the sugar into rum. You can sell the rum for money, or you can ship the rum for points. There's a lot of different things you can do. And if you're into artwork, the artwork on this game is phenomenal.
Is this a newer or older game? Or
yeah, I couldn't tell you what year it was from, but
it's been around a while.
It's been around a while, okay. Yeah.
Huh. That's one I've never heard of.
Yeah.
You have five cards in your hand, and you play a card to do something. So this card might mean I'm going to work. So I have a worker in my tableau. He's going to collect stuff. You have a builder who can build. You have a shipper who can ship. And you can you do whatever so it's card-driven.
Right.
But everybody has the same cards.
Okay.
You know, so it's like you have a hand of actions that you can play. So it's like action / role selection as well. And the last card that you have in your hand gives you votes in parliament. So that there are a lot of moving pieces that connect really well together, I think.
Did it come after Puerto Rico? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
They'll bring it next year.
Oh my God, we're never going to sleep next year. That's the plan, right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Damn it.
See what's going on there.
That does sound a lot like Puerto Rico, but kind of better. I love
shipping rum. I mean, how could you not?
No, you love drinking.
Oh, that's right.
So you just be on the boat.
That's right.
Is there one called a drunk captain? Is there a role called a drunk captain? That would be yours.
I haven't opened the box in a long time, but we'll make one for you.
Okay.
So that's Cuba with the expansion.
Number two.
All right, so what's number one?
The last one for me is the one that before we would have talked, people would have looked and like, huh, what game is that? And it's Air Baron. Air Baron is, for me, the nostalgia value of this is what got me into gaming with my dad.
Yeah.
And it's an easy enough game that I could teach pretty much anybody who's interested in learning a game.
Yeah.
The problem with it, and this is where people will start to, you know, analyze the game mechanics itself, it's very luck-driven. It's extremely luck-driven because you get paid through random token draws out of a bag. And if your tokens don't get pulled, you don't get paid. There are ways you can mitigate that. You can take loans at times, but if you have a loan already and you have no money, then the game becomes kind of bogged down. That'll happen every now and then. I mean, I've played that game probably around 400 times.
Wow.
And it's might have happened to me, you know, 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a fun game.
Okay.
It's not chess. Yeah. Right? If you're looking for chess, don't go anywhere near Air Baron. You'll get yourself upset. But at WBC, there's a group. I actually run this event at WBC because I want to see it played every year. Because I want to play it every year.
Right, yeah.
My dad and I will kind of call that the Griswold family reunion because we get all the same weirdos that come back to play. But that's the point of the game. Yeah. That's definitely more about the experience than the game itself.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to go into Fair Wars and roll really hot, and then when somebody beats them, hey, it's a big table event. It's fun, it's easy. You can play it while you're drinking. That's up your alley.
I'm in.
But I would probably put that below some of the other games you wanted to try.
Right, yeah.
Okay. You can come to the demo and kind of see it in action. It's really a simple mechanical game. But it's nice the way that the guy put it together.
Okay.
And when we start talking about me designing, the designer of Air Baron came to WBC, and this was kind of when I realized that game designers were people.
Right.
I just thought games just magically existed.
Right. You know,
I don't look at the rules and say, oh, this was designed by Rienerstadt. Like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't care about that. I just wanted to see how to play.
Well, he's one of our number one fans, so.
Awesome.
So you might want to amend that. Let's go. I think he lives in Mozambique, if I'm not mistaken.
But when I met Evan at the convention, I totally kind of marked out on him. Like, oh my gosh, you designed my favorite game. I want to give you a hug. And he probably needed a restraining order the first year.
Yeah.
But it was through those conventions that I actually started meeting other people who design games. And I thought, wow, like these are actual human beings. This isn't just like a machine pumping games out of Milton Bradley.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So there's your top five games. Let's talk about your game collecting habits. Like, do you buy a lot of games? I mean, it seems like when we see you at WBCs, you have like a truckload of games. Like, you always are like, I got all these games. I mean, do you have a magic bag where you fit all these games?
Oh my gosh, I wish. Well, so if you guys would see my shoulders at the end of the night, so at 4 o'clock in the morning when I get back to my room and, you know, I'm cleaning up. And so I do all my hygiene before I go to bed because it's just easier that way. So I take my shirt off. I've got like these gashes in my shoulders because the bag is just holding it down.
Do you have a big collection at home?
Board Game Geek, I think, has me around 200.
Okay.
But they're counting Killer Bunnies as like 15.
Right,
because every expansion counts as one. I have four shelves, like four big bookshelves. Like, you have these really cool, what is this, Calyx?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
So I have like bookshelves, and I have four of them in my game room.
Okay.
I have two more out in the garage that have the chaff that I don't really want. Like, I have it. Like, some of these games are just like, I can't get rid of this because it was a gift. Or I can't get rid of this because this was the first game I ever learned when I was dating this girl. Like, you know what I mean? No.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to play them a lot.
Right.
Or some of them I just ran out of space. So, collecting-wise, when my wife and I first got married, we were living in an apartment and then, like, the townhouse, so maybe I had a game or two. But when we built our house, that was when I first started thinking, okay, this is where we're going to be. And now I can start maybe looking into buying one or two games every year.
Yeah.
And by one or two, that means I'm going to get free shipping, right?
Right. One or two orders.
Yeah, exactly.
A month.
So it would be, I would order a game. I would order an order. And then my family would be like, well, what do you want for Christmas? Okay, you know, so maybe I'd get a game there. I participate in the Board Game Geek Secret Santa every year, which has gotten more difficult for me because to try to add, like, my wish list has some really weird stuff on it, but that's for me.
Okay.
I don't expect someone who's buying me a gift to find Diamond Club, which is out of print and like $300 something. Right, I don't expect that.
That's a strip club, I think.
That's why it's so expensive. So I've been doing that for a couple of years. So I get gifts. It's an easy thing to buy a gamer, you know, but sometimes it's the tough thing to buy a gamer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're into a certain type of game and somebody gets you something. So I've gotten a game called, I'll name drop it, The Amazing Space Venture, Amazing Space Race. My dad bought it for me because he thought I would like it was Carcassonne in space. Mm-hmm. The artwork was so tough. If you play Carcassonne, you know where like the cities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in Amazing Space Venture, they're made of stars, which are like little white dots. Mm. So it was really hard to play. And I never play it. But my dad got it for me, so I'll never get rid of it.
Right, right, yeah.
So games like that, like if someone gives you a gift, it's nice if they know what you're looking for. And that's why I guess the wish list exists.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised. The only two you have, Darren, you have proffed to have 300 games, right?
Yeah, probably.
I'm surprised that your collection isn't as large.
But that's good.
It is.
I mean, I think that's pretty reasonable. I mean, there's a point where, you know, how many can you actually play? I mean, I don't buy that many new games anymore. Because I have...
I disagree.
I buy you new games. I buy you games.
That's true.
And then we play them.
But now that when people ask me, you know, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for your birthday? I want time.
Yeah.
Like, give me a day. So, actually, and I'll invite you guys now because I have... Perfect. There's an event called MaxCon.
Yes.
Where it's my birthday day.
Yeah.
That's like, this is what I want. I want people to come over. I want people to play games with me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the most ideal thing.
Yeah.
You bring nothing but you because I have... If you want to, or you bring games you want to play.
Yeah.
It's like a full day game day for me.
You got to make sure to tell Darren to bring his pants because that is often a problem.
It's not on the rules.
I don't even care.
It's open for interpretation.
So that's what we're thinking for his birthday, to do a double D con.
Yes.
The details are in flux, but...
Yes. So,
We have to talk to you offline about the details.
Yes, we're working on that.
You wouldn't want that guy for Mozambique showing up.
No, we...
I am here to play.
If he flies for Mozambique, he's in.
How often do you play now outside of the con season? Do you play at home with your family? Do you have a game night? What do you...
I'm lucky enough that I have many different groups that I play with. Going back to WBC and like making friends there, when I first got married, you just don't walk up to somebody at the supermarket and say, hey, do you play board games?
Yeah.
So like Board Game Geek had this really cool function where you could search area codes or zip codes and find out if there's gamers nearby. And I met someone, and to me, that was like my magazine. Like my dad met Art through The General.
Okay.
Yeah. I met Ray through Board Game Geek. And when I went, I remember the first email I sent him. So I play Air Baron, and I know to call, and I know this. And he's like, awesome, I have 900 games. Come on.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. It was like one of these things.
Yeah.
This is...
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Huh. But I played with him for a long time. I know people from other cities. I game up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, down in Hagerstown, Maryland, in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I met someone in Gettysburg who lives literally 3 minutes away from my house.
Nice.
So we probably play maybe the most often. If I'm lucky, you know, during the year, Sundays are kind of tough because that's like a prep day.
Mm-hmm.
I teach.
Okay.
So Sunday I prep my week. And if I can get a gaming day in on Sunday, that's usually what I do. He'll come over, we'll play one or two.
Nice.
But I do play with a lot of different people at different times. I also coach football, so during football season, it's tougher to get out and do stuff,
but that's
coming to a close now, so I'll be able to get out and about a little more than usual. And then obviously conventions, WBC is the top one, and there's some other like little ones that I'll go to, or I'll try to get to for a day or two,
okay,
just to see some people.
Does your wife play at all?
She'll play at the house-ish, kind of. I mean, we have a 9-year-old son, and our daughter was just born in 2017. She's always with them.
Yeah,
you know, and if the kids take a nap, she wants to take a nap.
Right.
And the other thing she absolutely hates is me teaching. Because my style of teaching, I want to teach you everything as much as I can before we start. Because I hate to be the guy that says, oh, you can't do that.
Right.
Because rules. You know, yeah. She doesn't care. She'll just play. She'll want to start something and then learn as she goes.
Oh, that's who does that remind you of?
That's like Daron's wife, Lorelai.
No. I'm talking about Howie.
Oh, Howie. Oh, yeah, Howie,
you'll,
too.
You'll take yes. out a...
Howie's probably really good, though.
Yeah, Howie's
he
very
does pick
good.
It up, though. He
but
does.
We'll say, okay, in this game, you have... He's like, I don't care. Let's just play.
Yeah.
I'm like, Howie, you gotta know that.
Lorelai will listen to some of the rules, and then... Well, we start playing, and she'll forget a rule, and then she'll say, well, you never told me that.
Yeah, she'll get mad at me.
Yeah.
See, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that to skew the experience.
Right.
Because you might really have a good time, and then, yeah. Oh, I can't do this.
Yeah.
This game's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny, because we've talked about this before on the podcast.
Yeah.
You're one of the best teachers of the game,
yeah,
of games that we've found.
Job.
That's
yeah.
why we come to you during the WB season, like, hey, let's play a game, because it's going to be enjoyable to learn. Even if the game's not great, we're not going to... It's not going to be a waste of time. We're not going to have spent 45 minutes doing rules and not understand them.
Yeah. So, or unlike the time we played, we tried to teach ourselves heaven and hell.
Oof.
With the whole, at the end of the first game, we played it wrong. And, or we missed something. And the other, Flamme Rouge,
we played wrong.
Two
games.
Because Howie was reading the rules.
Yeah, that's Howie was trying to get
so
through.
Last WBC. Yeah. I just looking for something to do. And I found this guy who was playing Battlestar Galactica. And my dad had played it once. I'm like, all right, I'll sit fine. They didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad sat down then. And like, here we are. You don't get up. I mean, they're trying to screw through the rules. And I see, and I might have saw you guys.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm like,
right,
I don't know
yeah.
what they're doing. I'm like, I wish I was playing a game. But here I am playing this game. But then, what's this guy's name? Calder. Calder sat down. He's my hero. Because first of all, he was just super fun to play with. He was like, he's a Canadian Max, right? And then it was either his girlfriend or his wife or a girl who knew him really well, I don't know, whatever. She sat down like, oh, you guys are going to love this game. This game is awesome.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and said, do you know how to play? Teach us.
Teach,
please.
No,
yeah.
You're not even going. I don't care if you're hungry, have to go to the bathroom. No, sit. You're teaching us this game. And they taught it. And that, I didn't like super duper love the game, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
And I think had they not sat down, my view of that game would have been very Race for the Galaxy-esque, where it was taught poorly. And the experience was bad, and it's the game's fault when it's not really the game's fault.
Right.
I remember that because we had run into you, and you just looked, you and your dad both looked like you wanted help, and I was like, I don't know what to do here. Should I pull the fire alarm or something? Like, and we were over there just playing, and you were just like, aww. That was pretty funny.
Once we started getting into it, though, it was okay. But I don't think I would ever playing a game with someone who, you need somebody to know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now it's time for the best part of the podcast, is the board game knowledge quiz.
Did you say best or worst?
I don't know.
You're
I haven't even come up with questions yet.
Oh, jeez. Every time we do this, your preparation boggles my mind.
No, I thought about some questions on the way over here, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, that'll be great. So if you've listened to the podcast before, Max, you know we ask our newer gamers based on kind of their responses.
Mm-hmm.
We give them a quiz that's... anything but scientific and anything but prepared for. So we're going to try this again.
But we're going to do it a little differently, I decided,
because
Max is a more experienced gamer. So instead of giving him easy, medium, hard, I'm just going to give him three questions.
I don't get
questions.
The questions you guys ask the other people. It's not going to be easy or hard.
Okay, so three questions.
All challenging, but open-ended.
Okay.
Okay.
How many points?
You can finesse the BS with this thing.
Yes.
Nice.
How many points are each worth? Do you want me to make that up?
Okay.
Very good.
All right. So the first one, we're going to talk about game designers.
Ooh.
What category would you like to choose? Martin Wallace or Vlada Shavato?
Let's go with Vlada.
Okay, Vlada.
Because I've played Martin Wallace games. Martin Wallace is he's an exceptional designer. He is like the 700-pound bench press, though.
Okay.
That's like mad heavy.
He also listens, so. From Mozambique.
Hi, Martin.
So, Vlada Shavato, name as many games designed by Vlada Shavato as you can.
I got two.
Can I stop you there? Do you have a list of actual games designed by Vlada Shavato?
No, we'll look them up as we go.
I do.
I'm pretty sure I know two.
I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now.
Okay, very good.
One of them is one of my favorite online games. I have the app too, Through the Ages.
Okay.
All right. Very good. That is correct. That is a great game.
I'm just gonna guess. Did he do Codenames?
He did do Codenames in 2015. That's
cool.
Two. Keep
Derek,
going.
Derek Jeter is number two. I'm stopping.
Yeah.
Now Also designed my number one game of all time. Now, let's see if you remember from episode zero.
Ooh, it's true.
Who are you talking to me? Yep. I got no chance.
Okay. He knows.
Holy heaven.
It's on my shelf right now. So you could.
My back is to your shelf. You can kind of turn your back to your host.
That's true.
Oh, my goodness.
He's done a few.
I'm sure he's done a few.
I mean, through the
ages, you could buy a T-shirt that says "Vlada is my homeboy."
Yeah.
You don't get a shirt like that without being a Mount Rushmore designer.
That's true. Darren, are there any other games besides this one that I'm referencing you think that Max should know?
There's maybe one other big one, but I don't think. Yeah, there's one other probably big one. But.
And again, my earlier comment where I don't pay attention to the designers too much. Yeah. This is where it comes in.
No, I know.
I don't want to say a game and have it be somebody else and just be like. Oh, Power Grid, then Friedman's going to get all mad at me.
Oh, yeah, he also listens.
Okay, so, Dayron, why don't you...
I'm cutting it off at two.
Okay, well, that's two.
That's a good number for me.
Right, that's good.
It would be that fine game Galaxy Trucker.
Okay.
Right there. Mm-hmm. That's the other one I know. I don't know...
See, knowing Vlada as the Through the Ages designer, code names just... It's like out of left field. Galaxy Trucker, that's out in right field.
They're very different. Yeah, they are. What's interesting about his games. He also did Mage Knight... board game.
Don't
know. Okay, that's a...
Mage Knight. I think I played Mage Wars before.
Okay, so. Yeah, it's different. But yeah. I have that one. Amazing. Bunny Bunny Moose Moose.
Oh.
That is... I don't know how I forgot that.
We should do something about bunny-themed games. That's coming up a lot.
He did Dungeon Lords and Dungeon Pets as well.
Oh, okay. I think Dungeon Pets is relatively new.
Dungeon Lords was a game... Is that the game where you're the bad guy building the dungeon?
I don't know.
Sounds like it would be.
It might be.
Okay.
All right, so how are we going
to... Well, I'd say we give him 2 points.
That's what I earned.
Okay. Yeah, two games.
Okay.
Two right. out of 50.
I mean...
My ratio is four.
I'd say two out of four.
I think four would be the max I would expect anybody to get.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. That was a good one.
All right, so question number two. Last year at the WBCs, you taught us a game called Grand Austria Hotel. Remember that one?
I do. Don't ask me who designed it.
Oh, no, that's fine. We enjoyed that. But I'm going to tell you that the art was done by somebody named Clemens Franz.
I believe you.
What other games has he designed art for?
Oof.
Just by looking at this, you don't have to, looking at the style. He's a well-known, he does a lot of board game art.
You couldn't ask me about Michael Menzel, could you?
No.
He's like Pillars of the Earth Cube. But that style of Stone Age, that looks the same.
Yes, and wow. I think, but Clemens Franz, I think it does look the same.
Yeah, I'm going to get zero here.
I've heard of the name before. I can't think of what else he's designed. If it looks like Grand Austria Hotel, give me a clue. What is one of the most famous one? What letter does it start with?
It rhymes with Agricola.
Now that you say it, you can kind of see that.
Yes.
With the artwork on the covers.
So what else?
Caverna.
We've done Le Havre.
Caverna, Le Havre. Those are both on there.
Oratelobarabora.
Yes.
I don't know how to say
that. Or et Labora. That is correct.
There you go.
Feast for Odin.
That is not on the list.
Okay. It's probably, that's because it's incorrect.
It does look, yes. It does look similar.
Be my guess.
Yeah. No, that's a good guess.
Wait, Agricola.
Yes.
Yes.
I gave you the gimme one.
And Agricola, all creatures big and small.
It goes through
that.
The Caverna Cave versus Caveman. Or the Le Havre two-player.
That's,
so they have those.
The Le Havre, the Inland Port. Yeah,
Inland Port, that's what's
correct.
Called.
Okay.
How about the Agricola Z deck? The B deck?
It's a lot of points.
We'll give them points for
every expansion, creativity for Caverna
and resourcefulness.
We'll give him 2 points.
Did Clans of Caledonia, Oh My Goods, Orleans?
Oh,
yeah. No,
he did a lot of games.
Yeah, he's done a lot. So.
I'm a terrible person that Michael Menzel is probably, if I have to have a favorite artist,
because
I like that style. But I won't buy a game simply because of that. I did, however, consider purchasing second copies of games just for the board to kind of frame and kind of put up in the game room, because I thought that would be kind of cool.
If you look behind you, I have the art from probably my favorite artist, Ryan Goldsberry. He does Tim Fowler's games. So that's that's from paperback. So
okay.
I will kind of buy a game just because of that. But also I like their games. Paperback and hardback are good. And, but I love that art style. So I got bought that print from it right from his website, just framed it. So
that's cool. Man. All right. What are we gonna score him on that?
2 points.
2 points?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that sounds fair.
Two points. I'll take it, considering I really earned zero.
2 points out of something.
All right. Third and final question. The Spiel des Jahres is the award given to the best game of the year. And it goes back to 1978.
Oh.
Name as many Spiel des Jahres winners as you can.
I think Union Pacific won.
Union Pacific. You're making me look all the way
that
back.
That would be older. And I only say that because I think I saw the stamp on my copy.
Okay. Well, that's probably a good way.
That's a guess.
I don't see it on the list. Well, your list so I'm going to give you... We'll give you a quarter point because...
It sounds right.
Yeah, sure.
He sounds confident in that answer, so even though it's not on the list...
And you're also just using Wikipedia for your answer.
All right. What else?
I believe I have one of these games on my shelves.
So this is where you edit out the dead air.
Yeah.
No, we like the awkward silence.
Oh, my.
Think about some of the newer ones, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Did Ticket to Ride win?
Ticket to Ride did win.
Okay.
Oh. That's correct.
See, that's 2004. They have Kinder des Jahres, too, that throws me off, because you're not asking about that.
Well, we'll accept it, maybe.
I think the game we were discussing that my son's obsessed with won last year.
The Kinder one?
No, I think the regular.
You think King Domino is a regular Spiel des Jahres one?
It is.
Awesome,
yeah.
That's cool. It's a good game, so.
Yep, 2017.
Did Dominion win?
Dominion did win in 2009, all right.
Well, I have one, the game that won this year on my shelf, right?
Yes, you
is
do.
Is that correct?
I do.
We taught it to you at WBC.
We did, that is right. Good point.
Again, 36 concussions. Anything past 5 hours.
It's going to be 37
years. It's mush here. What was the theme?
Tiles.
Oh, was that? Oh, Azul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 2018.
Because of the other game now that I'm thinking of, it did not win Sagrada. I like that better.
Yes.
Right.
It was just that I like dice. And that was a really cool game.
Another popular tile placement game.
Azul won. Did Tikal win?
It did in 1999.
Whoa, that's bonus points.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Carcassonne?
Carcassonne won in 2001.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico must have won too, right?
I wouldn't guess Puerto Rico, but I can picture the box. I don't think I see the sticker on it.
No.
That reached number one on BGG and it was there for like 7 years.
Did not win. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Am I allowed to answer?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Colt Express.
Colt Express did win 2015.
I was always surprised by that one.
Yeah. It's a good game, but I'm surprised
I haven't played it.
It's fun.
I believe you, it's fun.
But I'm surprised it won. Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's good. I think we did
pretty good.
How about Parcheesi?
Probably.
No.
We're talking like 19, that was the initial Spiel des Jahres winner.
What was the first one?
1979, it says Hare and Tortoise. In 1980, it was Rummy Cube.
Oh, I love Rummy Cube.
Yeah.
As did the Spiel des Jahres committee in 1980.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Any other surprises you see on that list? Give us one from the 90s.
From the 90s?
Yeah, we got one from the 80s, one from the 90s.
Mississippi Queen in 1997.
No, that's a drag show.
1996, El Grande.
Okay, we played that last year with Howie. Okay.
Settlers of Catan won in 95.
So there's some standards on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Max 5 points on that one because I feel like we cleaned up on that one. All right, so you have...
I'm going to verify Union Pacific here for a second because I really think I see that sticker.
Okay. If you overturn our judgment call, it's minus 3 points.
Well, yeah. here's the problem. The Wikipedia page is written all in German.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be tough. And I'm assuming you don't
in
have a...
Brit und Spiel Stadtspiel des Britschmidt. Yeah, I got nothing.
What is Union Pacific in German?
I don't know.
Something with a lot of guttural sounds. All right. So while you're looking that up, I'm going to tabulate our very scientific method. Even though this was a new... format for a quiz. Luckily, I'm able to adapt our scientific chart.
Yeah, well, I want the easy quiz next time.
We can do that next time. Yeah. All right, so you got 9 points out of an undetermined amount of points, so that makes it very difficult. So I would say for 9 points, that makes you more likely than not to get angry at your dad while teaching rules to a game?
I think that's
who's fair. Teaching, me or him?
I think either way would work.
The beautiful part about playing with your dad and getting angry at him is it's not real anger.
It's not
you're
real.
Teaching it wrong. We have this saying at W, like, you're having fun wrong.
Yes.
You're teaching this wrong.
So why don't we take a break now? We've got to know about you, and let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk about your game, Lords of Baseball, that you're designing. We'll talk about the whole process and all that kind of stuff. All right?
All right.
Thanks for listening to the first part of our interview with Max Gemelli. On our next episode, we'll continue our conversation with Max and discuss his experience in helping design the game Lords of Baseball. Check it out if you want to get some insight on the process of making a game. For more information about our podcast, check out www.boardgamesareforlosers.com. If you have questions that you want answered on the show, or if you just want to tell us that you still think we're losers, you can email us at boardgamelosers@gmail.com. Any feedback or suggestions that will help us improve the show are definitely appreciated. You can chat with other losers in the forums over at boardgamegeek.com by visiting guild number 3300. And don't forget to check out our amazing board game photography on Instagram by following @boardgamelosers. Thanks for listening.